This is Ben McIntosh, and you're listening to Pro Lacrosse Talk.
Right off the bat, there's Lyle Thompson.
Courier, Ogden.
Kylie Elmiller showing off those shifty skills.
Driver driving hard down the alley, and he scores.
What a goal from Josh Byrne.
Kayla Trainer flips and scores.
You're kidding me.
By Dylan Ward.
Gets topside, Rambo scores.
Welcome to Pro Lacrosse Talk, your go-to podcast for interviews with professional players, coaches, and executives, as well as the latest news and analysis from all three professional lacrosse leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Moore and Hutton Jackson.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Pro Lacrosse fans? Welcome to another edition of Pro Lacrosse Talk. I'm your host, Hutton Jackson, here with my co-host, Adam Moore. We welcome all who are listening, but in particular, those who are watching this video on Spotify. Like I said, last episode, we're rolling out Spotify video episodes going forward. So we appreciate you if you are watching on Spotify. Adam, the NLL is back. What are your thoughts from this opening weekend?
Man, I don't think I've caught my breath yet after a wild run there. You know, so many close games all in one weekend. It was a rush, and it was awesome just being able to toggle between all the different games. As much as I would love them to be spread out, right, I think it was amazing to be able to go from the Wings to the Rock to the next game. It was an awesome weekend full of NLL. I'm glad they're back on the floor finally.
Yeah, now while there weren't too many upsets, five games were decided by one goal and three were decided in overtime. So the contest couldn't be tighter in this opening weekend. Yeah, certainly a great week to open up the NLL after 630 plus days of no NLL action. We finally get it. And we want to remind people that if you're looking for any NLL gear, to check out the official Fanatics site, you can go to prolacrossetalk.com/NLL shop. If you're a US customer, or /NLL shop-CA if you're a Canadian customer, and get your official NLL gear by using those links. You support us and you can get geared up for the season. So we appreciate if you guys do use those links. But Adam, let's get into these games. The rookies came out in full force. And obviously we have, you know, two draft class worth of rookies this season, which is unique to this season. According to our friend Adam Levy, rookies combined for 19 goals, 19 assists, 38 points, two game-winning goals, 14 caused turnovers, and 106 loose balls in this opening weekend. So the Rook Show was in full force. Yeah, had quite a debut for guys like Jeff Teed, who had 5 points. Patrick Dodds had 5 points. Tahoka Nanakoke had 3 goals. Reed Bowering had an assist. Charlie Kitchen, your guy, had a goal. And Adam Charalambidis also had 2 points, including the game winner in that opening night matchup between the Seals and Warriors on Friday night. What did you think of these rookies this opening weekend?
Yeah, it was a fantastic showing for the guys you mentioned and others as well. You know, I think before the season, our pal Teddy Jenner said one of his hottest takes coming into the season was that Jeff Teat wouldn't win the Rookie of the Year. And to be honest, I don't think that's that hot of a take. I think it's lukewarm considering the top-notch class we have coming in, the two classes of rookies that are playing so well early in the season. I think, well, he's going to be a top candidate for the award. There are so many fantastic players that are coming in for this first year of NLL. And it's really exciting to watch kind of that next generation of guys kind of taking over. You had some veterans really, really play well as well. But this looks like this could be the next wave of top talent coming into the league.
Yeah, no, I think he mentioned Patrick Dodds as one that could, you know, give him a run for his money. And the guy had 5 points in a Panther City team's debut that, honestly, if they would have limited the penalties, they could have came out in a victory with Philadelphia. We'll talk about that game a little bit. Charalambidis had that big game-winning goal, against the Seals. So you know, it was nice to see him make his debut. He honestly spent a lot of time in the NCAA at Rutgers battling injuries. So it's nice to see him back in the box game. And I love seeing Tahoka too, after he had some struggles too during his college career. So to have him back on the floor, it all in all, was a great debut for him. And, you know, we can't overlook Jeff Teat.
Yeah, for sure. It was awesome to see Tahoka get out there again. He was all smiles. And you mentioned earlier, my boy, Charlie Kitchen. We talked a little bit off pod about this, but has there ever been not just a pro lacrosse player, but a player maybe in professional sports that was drafted by one team, changed teams, whether that's by trade, expansion draft, getting cut, then signed by another team, and then traded back to his original squad before he even suits up? Not to mention that squad that he got traded back to is now in a new city and has a different name. Pretty wild story. I'm really excited, though, to see Charlie Kitchen out there. Nabbed his first professional goal. So really excited to see him on the floor finally after a bit of that hiatus, waiting to get his first game under his belt.
Yeah, so any sports or pro lacrosse historians out there, let us know if there is. I can't think of one, like in any sport, where, you know, you get drafted by one team, go to another expansion team, the team that you were drafted by moves, and then trade you back all before your first game. Yeah, I can't think of that. There might be something out there, maybe not in pro lacrosse, but in other pro sports. But
yeah, absolutely. And you know, clearly the Firewolves wanted him, right? They spent a second round pick on him and then traded a conditional second and third round pick to get him back. So that's a lot of draft stock for him. And obviously he's showing why. He had a really solid first game for the Firewolves.
Mm-hmm, no, absolutely. And so we talk a little bit about the rookies. One of the games, though, that actually featured a large veteran presence on both teams was the Thunderbirds and Rush. And that rematch did not disappoint. Obviously, Rush came away with an overtime victory last season. This time around, the Thunderbirds pulled out thanks to Eric Fennell's goal in OT. Cody Jamison was a last-minute scratch. He's expected to play in their game against Toronto, which I think is going to be a matchup to watch coming up in week two. But they actually allowed Reese Dutch to come on, and he played really, really well. It's amazing that he sat in free agency for so long, but he was a pivotal part of this Thunderbirds team winning against the Rush at home. They also had the Every Child Matters jerseys on, which they auctioned off after the game, which I thought was great too, to support that cause, you know, to kind of bring awareness to the atrocities committed at residential schools. That's going to be a theme throughout this season too, with all the teams wearing Every Child Matters stickers on the back of their helmets. But what do you think of the Thunderbirds Rush game? Like I said, didn't disappoint in terms of back and forth battle, and the Rush actually, you know, had a substantial lead early on. But what were some of your takeaways from this game?
Yeah, first off, that Halifax fan base was excited to be back. They were absolutely buzzing. It was awesome to see them come out and support the Thunderbirds, and it was a fantastic game, as you said. I'm excited to see this squad as they progress. It'll be interesting to see, like you said, what the addition of Cody Jamison back into the roster will do for them in a game like they have coming up against Toronto. But I think you'll see at the end of the day that both of these teams will be contending for a while. And obviously the T-Birds are a lot of early favorites to win that championship from a number of analysts. So it'll be fun to watch them going on.
They're going to have a tough matchup coming up again against the Rock. So let's get into that game, because I thought this game was one of the best, and it was actually the TSN game of the week too. First Ontario Center, first off, was popping. The move to Hamilton did not really have too many negative ramifications. It looks like there was still a very healthy crowd there. And our boy Tom Schreiber had a huge day in that game. Honestly, I think Toronto, of all the teams this weekend, looks like the top team. Not to do a disservice to Halifax, not to do a disservice to any of the other teams, but they just looked phenomenal. If it wasn't for Mitch Desnoux match penalty late, you know, that kind of gave the Firewolves some momentum. They were able to score two goals on the power play during that 5-minute power play, and a third right after. You know, Toronto probably would have come away with a little bit of a closer victory, but they still pull it out because Dangerous Dan Dawson ties it at 9 with 5 minutes left, and then would go on and score the go-ahead game winner as well, and in the process surpassed Hall of Famer and Toronto Rock legend Colin Doyle on the all-time goal scorers. So he's now sitting at 528. The only three guys he's behind, Adam, JT, John Grant Jr., and Gary Gate. So what a company to be in for Dan Dawson. Phenomenal career, and he's not slowing down any bit at all from watching this game. What do you think of the Rock, and you know, what do you think of the Firewolves either, despite the loss?
Yeah, they were absolutely dominant. You know, Nick Rose had a solid game in cage as well. And on the other side of things for Albany, I mean, Andrew Q matched Tom Schreiber in goals. He had four. He's going to be a player I'd like to watch as the season goes on. I think he's one of the best in the league, and he showed it in game one of the season right off the bat for the Fire Wolves. So really strong matchup between these two. As you said, so many games were so close this first weekend, and hopefully that continues as the season progresses.
Yeah, no, and I don't see any really strong, like, any weaknesses in this Rock team. I mean, you know, their transition with Latrell Harris is solid. You know, they have Challen Rogers as well. This offense was moving the ball, I think, better than any other team this weekend. And, you know, there was times where I was watching them and it was 5-on-5 and it looked like they were on the power play because they were just moving the ball with such ease. And, you know, the Firewolves, I thought they were going to come out. They gave them a good game. I think the Firewolves are still a top team too. I think they played them hard. I don't think, you know, the loss of Callum Crawford really showed itself too much. I think they were able to kind of, you know, find other ways, whether it be Riley O'Connor or Jacob Roue, you know, kind of stepping it up. So, and Joe Resiteris as well, you know, now being that number one guy essentially on this team. So I think, you know, they looked solid as well, but this Rock team kind of shifted my thoughts around. You know, I knew they were good coming into the season, but right now I think they're the team to beat. So I'm really looking forward to this Halifax Toronto matchup. That's kind of my matchup to watch coming up this season. But any last minute thoughts from this game, or should we move on to the Wings Panther City, which was another close one?
Yeah, as much as I want to move on, one quick thing: Joe Nardella took every faceoff for Albany and was 17 for 21. So the Rock had a bunch of different guys at the X. So it'll be interesting to see what they do at the faceoff going forward, and how, you know, it's that endless debate, right, in terms of what faceoffs look like and the value in the NLL. So I'm curious to see how that conversation progresses during the season. So it'll be something to watch.
Yeah, and they do have TD Erlin on their roster, and they're expecting him to possibly suit up once he kind of rehabs some injuries that he sustained obviously this past season. So you know, they'll have another X factor there. And another X factor at the X is Trevor Baptiste, and he dominated for the Wings, but didn't really reflect in, you know, the game result. You know, Panther City, they came out firing and they showed that they had built some chemistry during this short training camp. And honestly, they had a phenomenal debut, and if it wasn't for some penalties, they might have come away with a victory. They played a run and gun style. They were forcing it in transition, and Philly just didn't really do a great job of stopping them. And I thought Philly also came out and really was taking really poor shots. Their shot selection I thought was very bad. And if it wasn't for Zach Higgins making some key saves early on, could have been a lot worse. So they enter the half down 7-4 and then end up coming back, taking a late lead. Panther City goes up by one again. Unfortunately, they were able to tie it up thanks to a Brett Hickey goal. And then, of course, Matt Rambo wins in an overtime. Who else but Matt Rambo winning in Philly in an overtime thriller. So really, the Panther City almost stole a victory in their first game as a franchise. Unfortunately, it did not go their way, but I thought it was a very great showing. We mentioned earlier Patrick Dodds, 5 points in this game. That kid is a stud as well. So any thoughts on your hometown Wings this season, or Panther City on the other side? And what they were able to do in their first game.
Yeah, I know I stick with goalies a lot, but man, Kevin Orlman, he had a phenomenal beginning of this game. As much as you said, shot selection for the Wings, you thought was iffy early on, the shots that made it on cage, he was absolutely dominant really early on in this one, and is the main reason why this Panther City squad was in it the whole time, and was leading for such a lengthy period as well. So if he continues that, man, you know, watch out. This squad, as much as they're an expansion franchise, I think they're definitely going to have the ability to compete. And obviously the Wings are top team, and we're really clicking on all cylinders when things were shut down a little while ago. So yeah, watch out Panther City. And like you said, I know we keep hitting home the Patrick Dodd side of things, but he is an absolute special player, and I'm really excited to watch. He's going to be a star for the Lone Star State.
Yeah, no, and I thought, you know, Tracy Koleski got them ready to play, and they looked like they had an identity already, so I think that was big for them. But on the flip side, the Wings also had a debut from Ben McIntosh, who had 4 points, and we were lucky to have him as a guest on our show, so let's toss to our interview with Ben McIntosh.
Today, we're lucky enough to have new Philadelphia Wings forward and midfielder for the Water Dogs Lacrosse Club, Ben McIntosh, on the show. Ben, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll dive into week one of NLL action. You guys got a big OT dub against Panther City. How'd it feel to get that first win in a Wings uniform?
Yeah, I mean, it felt good. They're a solid team. They're a solid expansion team, right? Like they came out and punched us in the mouth pretty good in that first half. But I thought our team responded really well. And, you know, there's no easy games in this league. And that was proven last Saturday. But we're happy to get a win.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we'll obviously dive into more of your NLL career as we go. But we wanted to go a little bit further back. You grew up in Coquitlam, obviously a hotbed for the sport. So when did you pick up a stick for the first time?
I think I was 4 years old. Okay. I had an older brother. He plays on Vancouver right now. So he got into it when he was four, and I was a couple years behind him.
Okay. Awesome. And I'm curious too, you know, you headed to Western Reserve in the high school. How'd you end up in Ohio?
Yeah. So Western Reserve, there was the headmaster there was Dr. Flanagan. And he was a big lacrosse guy and really wanted, you know, he had a really good connection with West Coast Canada. And he always seemed to bring in a couple guys every year. And long before I went there, there was always a couple West Coast Canadians and people from Ontario that would go there. Anyways, I was just lucky enough to have the opportunity. Again, my brother went there first. Another good family friend of ours, Corbin Teo, he was there before Garrett. So it was just, you know, knowing the right people, kind of sure. Falling into it a little bit. But yeah, it was great. I mean, I loved Reserve and I loved Ohio.
Awesome. And then following your time at Reserve, you headed to Philly to play for Drexel with your brother again. I'm curious, mm-hmm. What was that transition like? You know, you went from Coquitlam to Ohio to one of the big cities in the U.S. and Philly. What was that transition like for you?
It was good. I mean, I'd never really lived that close to the city. Like when I went out to Drexel and in Hudson, Ohio, where Reserve is kind of a smaller town too. And so it was a bit of a culture shock, but it was awesome. I absolutely loved it. I fell in love with the city, loved our area, the team, everything. It was awesome.
That's great. And talk about playing for Coach Volker. They obviously had a fantastic season last year winning CAAs. You did the same while you were at Drexel. Talk about that experience as a Dragon.
Yeah, no, Volks was such a great coach. And, you know, I was talking to Coach Marr from Albany the other day, actually. And we were kind of laughing. I was like, you hear all these stories about Volks and how, you know, phenomenal of a player he was. And, you know, he was such a good defender and a beast out there, really. Yeah. And you hear all these stories, but my 4 years at Drexel and practicing 2 hours every day, he never once picked up a stick. So I was always a little disappointed that we never got to see that side of him, but yeah. As a coach and, you know, the leader for our team, he was great and he was so much fun to play for. We still keep in touch today.
That's great. And let's dive into a little bit of the beginning of your NLL career. Drafted in 2014 by the Edmonton Rush and went on to not only win Rookie of the Year, but a championship during that first season as well. What was that experience like winning a ship as a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, I fell into a pretty fortunate situation there where, you know, Saskatchewan had just come off, I think they were only playing 16 games back then. So I think they had a season where they were 14-2. So they were clearly a powerhouse in the league. And, you know, they very easily could have won the year before. You know, they had a really close game with Calgary, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, I sort of fell into that situation where it was a team that was competitive already, was coming into their prime. I was drafted there. So it was great. But I mean, being able to be a part of that, and those guys are some of my best friends now. That was one of the closest teams I've ever been on. And I have a ton of good memories from them. And, you know, the first championship being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously that success didn't stop, right, with your rookie year. You guys went to a bunch of championships over the next couple of years. What was it about that Rush squad? The core really stayed the same for that period. So what was it about that squad that made you guys so successful for an extended period of time?
Yeah, I think just you know, like you said, we had such a solid core and we were so close, you know, off the floor, and we were really close on the floor, and just the chemistry you were able to build. And, you know, we would come into training camp kind of already knowing, you know, a lot of our X's and O's and our systems and all that stuff, so we could keep progressing it every year. So we had, and, you know, we were all coming into a lot of those players like Corbeil and Rubes and Dilks and Church and Mark, like everyone was coming into their prime. Right. Sure. So it was just, there's a lot of lucky bounces you need, but no question, it was a hardworking group. A ton of credit to Coach Keenan. He was, you know, put it all together, and he, Bubs, our offensive coach, is one of the smartest coaches I've ever played for. Learned a ton from him. Again, a guy like I stay in touch with and respect a ton. So I just think, you know, keeping that group together, being able to build on that chemistry and go into training camp and go right into X's and O's in our systems, learning all that.
No, that makes complete sense. And this offseason, you got dealt to Philly. You went to a championship every year except one in your career. I think Coach Day probably brought you in to continue that pattern. So what's the expectations for the squad this year?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell Philly in that the season that got cut short, they were one of the best teams in the league already. Again, like, I don't know, I keep falling into these situations and I'm very grateful for them. But you saw what they could do is their second year as an expansion team. And they just improved so much from their first year. And anyways, they made a lot of moves in the offseason where they're clearly in, and we're clearly in like win now mode. I think we brought in a lot of really good pieces. They already had a lot of really good fundamental pieces here. So I think, like you said, it's get to the championship and hold the trophy at the end of the year. That's the goal.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I'm curious too, you know, just from like inside lacrosse side of things, how great is it to live where you're playing, right? You know, you were traveling. I know you live in the Philly area. So how big of a difference is that just, you know, during the season from a grind standpoint to live where you're playing?
Yeah, no, it's a long season, right? Like you have 18 games, and when you can have 9 of them at home where you're able to drive to, and some of the ones, you know, being on the East, like New York and stuff, I'll probably be able to drive to those too.
Sure.
You know, saving your legs, not hopping on a plane. It's great. And it's just, it does grind away at you. There was a couple of years, like I was going from Philly to Saskatchewan. There's no direct flights. So that was always a bit of a long travel day. Yeah. And then, you know, you play a game and you travel back. So it does wear on you. But we play this game and we do this because we love it. Right. Like that's part of it. We all signed up for that. But it's definitely a good perk.
That's great. Not only do you play in the NLL, but you obviously play outdoor with the PLL, most recently with the Water Dogs. Talk about playing for Coach Copeland. You guys had a really awesome season coming out of the bubble. Talk about just playing for him this past season.
Yeah, no, Coach Cope, he's awesome. And he's done such a good job as well, just, you know, finding the right pieces and putting it all together. And I think, you know, the Water Dogs, they're getting over that hump, and we're finding our groove. But it's a ton of fun. It's a team that is just, again, like they're just such a close group. And, you know, even in the off season right now, everyone's still communicating and talking. And, you know, you see some of the guys at these NLL weekends, and it's just great to see them. But no, they're building something special there for sure. And I'm excited to, you know, maybe be a part of it and watch it grow. Or if I'm not, then I'm excited to, you know, watch them and cheer for them as a fan.
There we go. That's awesome. Well, let's dive into our 5 and 5 segment. Usually Hutton asks the lacrosse questions. I ask the off the field questions, but I'll take all 10 today. These are just quick hitters. So number one, what are your pregame routines, or do you have any superstitions?
Any pregame routines? Nothing, you know, a lot of them are, I had a bunch in Saskatchewan, but you get thrown off when you haven't been doing it for 2 years and then you change locations and all that. Nothing particular, you know. I think, you know, the one thing I do is I don't know why I've done this, but I've always taken some Tums before the game.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't get heartburn or anything, but it's just something I do.
There we go. All right. Number two, favorite venue you've played at in your career?
Favorite venue. I think playing at their Canada Center, I guess now Scotiabank is, was one of the cooler venues. It's just, you know, there's so much history there with the Maple Leafs and everything. So that's always a really cool one. And also Vancouver, now that they're playing out of Rogers Arena, that was also really, really cool. Cause, you know, as a kid going to, you know, watch the Vancouver Ravens back in the day, and then the Canucks, and I even went to a Grizzly game or two. So yeah, it was really cool to play there too.
Awesome. Talk about, so are you a big Canucks guy?
Yeah. I'm a fan. It's been tough, but I do like hockey. I cheer for the Canucks.
Okay. Just curious about, they go up against my Flyers coming up, who they're kind of in similar boat, I think, at the moment. Yeah. Coach changes, all that good stuff. So very cool. Number three. So we always curious what players' stick setups are. So what's yours at the moment?
I use the Gate. I use the Torque. I use one of their D-shafts, the Gate Ice. Okay. Clutch. I was using some of the lighter sticks, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I like a little bit of the heavier sticks. I don't got to worry about them breaking, kind of checking if anything's bending.
Sure.
Setting picks out there, that's sort of my job. So I don't want stick breaking. But yeah, no, I use all Gate stuff and I love their products. It's phenomenal.
Nice. Do you, I'm just curious from like a string standpoint, do you use the same thing indoor as you use outdoor? That's just something we're always curious about.
No, you know what? It's a little different. I play with a little more of a shallow pocket in box across.
Sure.
Mainly because, you know, you don't have a guy with 6 foot pole coming at you.
Right. Yeah. With.
You know, you don't need as much hole. You don't need to make sure you have can keep the ball on your stick as well. And also just like the, I feel like in field across, you know, power on your shot is maybe a little bit more important.
Sure.
Whereas in box across, it might be a little bit more accuracy. You're shooting from so much more in tight and so that's, I use a little bit, a stick that I can be a little more accurate with and not necessarily as powerful.
Makes sense. All right. And number four, who's a player in your career, when you were younger or now, that's been a big mentor and a big help for you up to this point?
You know who it was, I would say this guy mentored me a lot, Jarrett Davis. He was on the Rush when I first got there. He played on my summer team, Maple Ridge Berards.
Okay.
Jarrett's no longer in the league, but, he's just a guy that he helped me so much. And, you know, I could talk to him about anything. He was always there, you know, on the floor, we're talking, he's walking you through things and just such a smart guy, such a good guy. And he really took me under his wing and he was a ton of fun to be around. And I'm really thankful for the stuff he was able to teach me.
Awesome. And number five, Hutton's always curious. He's really pushing for an NLL or a PLL video game. So we'll stick with NLL. If they made a game right now, who's on the cover?
Who's on the cover? NLL, I would say Dane Smith is up there. He's, you know, could be on the cover of both, honestly. Yeah. I think Mark could be up there. Kevin Crowley could be up there. And Dane Doby, one of those guys would be my choice.
They can just add all of them and it would be one of those like ones you could just like purchase the specific player you want of your choice, right?
That would be for sure.
Nice. And then off the field question, so sticking with the sports side of things, who's an athlete in another sport you're really enjoying watching right now?
You know what, I've really gotten into golf and I love watching Brooks Koepka. I think he's just, you know, he's a competitor, and him and Bryson DeChambeau had their whole,
the battle.
I don't know if it was real or not real, but their banter going back and forth, and then they played together in the Ryder Cup. So I've just enjoyed following him and his career. And he's such a competitor in a sport that is super, like, it's such an individual sport, but you can just see the passion and all that. So it's really cool. I've been following him pretty closely.
Nice. Yeah. That's been fun to watch for sure. Number two, you're obviously on the floor, on the field a lot, but what are some hobbies you like doing when you're not playing?
Yeah. I golf is one of them. Last year I, my wife, she's such a trooper. I went and bought some clubs so that she can come golfing with me.
Nice.
So yeah, I like to golf. We got two dogs. We go for hikes and, you know, walk around with them a bunch. And, you know, we'll go into our town here and in the summer they block off a street and we can go to some restaurants and stuff like that with them. So we like to do stuff with the dogs.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned food there. We're always curious. Favorite meal?
Favorite meal. I feel like it changes from like year to year. Right now, I'm in on the chicken parm right now, though.
Okay. All right. I think chicken parm or just steak are like the top two answers. Doing this for like two and a half years, those are pretty much. If you had to, if you were a betting man, those are my guess is 9 times out of 10.
I feel like it's a big pregame meal too for a lot of the guys.
Yeah, that makes sense. Number four, favorite spot to vacation.
Favorite spots of vacation. We actually, my parents have a spot up in the Okanagan in BC. So we love going there and spending some time with them.
Nice. Good stuff. And number five, any books, TV shows, podcasts you'd recommend to the listeners? Anything you're binging right now or anything like that?
Yeah, you know what? Do you know who Kyle Brandt is?
Yeah.
He's the Good Morning Football guy. He has a podcast called 10 Questions where he brings in some pretty high profile guests, and he asks them, he runs them through a little gauntlet of quizzes, like a quiz.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's really cool because he does the interview, but he also does like a game show kind of thing out of it. Okay. So it's been pretty cool. I've enjoyed watching that.
Nice. Yeah. I'm a big supporter of his. He was all in on the Birds when they made that Super Bowl run a couple of years ago. So I'm a big Kyle Brandt fan.
Yeah. I remember he had a huge speech, I think, on his morning show.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah. That was awesome. Well, Ben, it was really a pleasure to chat with you. We always end with one final question, and that is, what is some advice you'd give to a young player looking to play professionally one day?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Honestly, the biggest thing for me is just, you know, be playing a lot and play against the highest competition you can. Like if you can, you know, I feel I've always been of the mindset, you know, if you're on a team and you win by 20 goals, you know, you don't learn as much as you're on a team that loses by 20 goals. Right. Or if you're, you know, maybe a U12 player and you have an opportunity to play up a game for U14 or something like that, like go do it, go play against the best competition you can. You can see what it's like at the next level, and you make yourself better doing that.
That's awesome. That's great advice for our younger listeners. Well, Ben, again, thanks so much for hopping on with us. We really appreciate it, and best of luck this season with the Wings and then with the Water Dogs as well.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me.
Let's move on to our matchup of the week. I mentioned it earlier. I like the Rocket, the Thunderbirds, Adam, just because, you know, going in, Thunderbirds were my top team. And now, you know, I think the Rock are right up there with them. So I think it's going to be a great matchup. Hopefully we'll get Cody Jamison back. And then, you know, obviously the Toronto Rock have been at full strength, you know, and I think this is going to be a defensive heavy battle. So I don't know what the over under is just yet, but given the, you know, the goaltender status of Warren Hill and Nick Rose, in these two defenses, I expect it to, you know, maybe be under 20 points. So that's something I'm looking forward to, but that's my matchup of the week. What's your matchup of the week, Adam?
I'm going to go with the squad we just talked about. A surprising performance, arguably, but by many. Panther City, man, their first game at Dickies Arena will be at 8:30 on Friday. They take on Vancouver, who not a lot of people picked to win last week, right? So this will be a fun one against a team that's coming off a high of a victory and another one that's first game was as close as it could get. So I'm really looking forward to these two squads squaring off first game in Texas for Panther City. So they'll be booming in Dickies Arena. So I'm excited to watch that one.
Yeah, no, and Alex Buque, I think, surprised a lot of people in that Vancouver debut. He had a phenomenal game. So, yeah, this is going to be a close one for sure. I think we're going to get a nice battle for their first game in the Lone Star State. For my picks, I'm going to go the Rock, Wings, Panther City, Bandits, Rush, Seals, and Riptide this week. Those are the seven picks that I have going into this weekend. What are your picks, Adam?
I'm going Rock, sticking with my Wings, Panther City, Buffalo, Calgary, and Colorado. And then on the Sunday matchup, I'm going, unfortunately, Riptide going 0-2 on the weekend, and I'm taking the Swarm.
Yeah, so those are our game picks. Now, we do have betting in the U.S. It's on BetUS, which doesn't have an app, so it's not one of the more mainstream sports books. I'm hoping that betting will come to one of the more mainstream sports books shortly. It sounded, you know, when talking with Pat Gregoire on our PLT preview on Twitter Spaces, that it is coming soon, but it's nice, like, you know, honestly, if Thursday rolls around and we don't have it on a mainstream book, I might sign up for a BetUS account and try to place some wagers, because we went 3-0 on our pro lacrosse bets, our staff picks last week. We correctly predicted the Mammoths money line victory, the Firewolves rock under 21 points, and the Bandits to cover the 1.5 point spread. So definitely follow us at Pro Lacrosse Bets for our picks this week. We might have an article write up to go with that this week as well. But hopefully we'll get some sports betting on some mainstream books, but at the very least we can still wait. We can wager now in the US. So that's a big win for us. So I wasn't able to get them in time last week, but looking forward to maybe placing some bets this weekend. And some trends from week one is the underdogs were actually 6-1 against the spread for Cool Bets lines. Favorites though went 5-2 straight up. So favorites were covering on the money line. They weren't covering the spread. That was kind of something I kind of anticipated, just because these teams were going to be so close that I felt like any team getting points was probably going to, you know, have some value. And then the overs were actually 5-2. So surprisingly, I thought the totals were a little bit low. You know, most of them were set around 21, 22. So not too surprising that a lot of them went over, but that's something to watch going forward as well. That wraps up our episode. We'll have a PLT preview potentially this coming Thursday as well. I thought that went great. We really appreciate Brendan Glasheen, Austin Owens, Pat Gregoire, and Sam Long joining me. And I know, Adam, you're hopefully looking forward to joining me this upcoming. And it's going to be a rotating basis, so there might be weeks where I'm not on. Adam's on. Some other people are on. So definitely tune in on Twitter Spaces for that. And if you do miss Twitter Space, we'll repost on our podcast stream as well. But we appreciate everyone tuning in. Follow us at Pro Lacrosse Talk and at Pro Lacrosse Bets. And any parting thoughts, Adam, before we go?
The NLL is back, baby. That's all. That's all I have to say.
The NLL is finally back. We waited over 630 days. It's finally here. Week one was a blast. Week two is going to be a blast. We appreciate Ben hopping on and joining us for this episode. And we appreciate you guys always listening to another episode of Pro Lacrosse Talk.